Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern, how is it to be of liberal persuasion in a house that is basically there to do obstruction, via the Republican leadership? I know that's a leading question, but yeah. How does it feel every day to go to work?
Well, it's not always a lot of fun, but I do feel a sense of purpose. I mean, if all the stars were aligned and we had a more liberal Congress and, that would work with our president to get things done, I don't think I would be needed as much. I think people are needed even more when times are tough. I mean, we need to make the case for what we believe in, and we need to make it strongly to try to change things. And I believe things can change. Maybe they'll get worse before they get better. I hope not, but I do think it is important to have people stand up and fight back, because you have two choices. You can either roll over and let them have their way on everything, or you fight back. And for me, it is more fulfilling and more satisfying to fight back. I believe in this country. I love this country. I think it can be so much better, and I want to make it better. But I know in order to make it better, we're going to have to change the realities here in Washington.
So how do you do it? I mean, you fight back. There does seem to be some real division within the Republicans. You see Speaker Boehner having to fight a rear guard action against the right. Do you try to exploit that, or what do you do?
Yeah, you try to exploit where there may be divisions on the Republican side. Sometimes you try to convince them on the merits that, your point of view is the right way to go. Sometimes you have to shame them, quite frankly. And that's what we were doing. That's what, we had to do, on the whole debate on food stamps, or SNAP, where they had advocated these, huge cuts, and they're still advocating them, but based on erroneous facts, like somehow that this was a fraudulent program, or that, it created a culture of dependency, or that people weren't working, when in fact we knew that the majority of able-bodied people on SNAP work. So we had to fight back and make it difficult for them to be able to get their way. And so they cut the program. They didn't get as deep a cut as they wanted, but they cut it, which was not satisfying to me. But it could have been worse. And so sometimes fighting back puts them in a corner where where you call them out, and it becomes very difficult for them to move in the direction they want to move in. And look, I don't know if you remember this great journalist, I.F. Stone.
I knew him.
Did you really? Well,
I knew him.
I met him late in his life. I remember I was with him at some event where Ronald Reagan was president, and I was like, God, Reagan wants to cut everything I believe in. He's, militaristic. He wants to invade the world. I just feel like there's nothing we can do. And his response was, he says, if you put on a stone long enough, you'll make an indentation. And he said, when I covered the McCarthy hearings in the 1950s, I don't think I could have believed that Joe McCarthy would have been exposed for the kind of crank that he really was, or that J. Edgar Hoover would be exposed by the kind of, egomaniac that he was, or that we would find out some of the excesses of the CIA in the 1970s. Things happen sometimes in a very good way. They don't happen quickly all the time, but you got to be there to push back. You got to be there to fight, because every time you fight, it moves us closer in that direction, of getting what we want.
And sometimes with great risk. I mean, I knew Stone because we all summered in the same place. The tales of, the number of income tax audits the guy had to go through,
right,
were remarkable. Do you find that when you're personally being courageous, which you are, that you lose sleep sometimes?
I get what worries me sometimes is when the reaction to some of the things I say is so strong, where you start to wonder whether or not somebody might do something stupid. I mean, I,
sure.
And, you know, and so that worries me sometimes. The other times I get worried is you know, I really do anguish over the times I take on this president, you know, who I admire very much, who I think is a good man, and you know, and has the potential to be a great president. But you know, when he wanted to go in and bomb Syria, and you know, and I was, you know, I was on, you know, talk shows on national TV talk shows saying we shouldn't, and I knew the White House was very upset about that. But and I, you know, I, there a lot of them are my friends, but I thought they were wrong. But I did lose sleep over that because I, you know, I you know, it's not comfortable taking on your friends, but sometimes you have to do it. I mean, you got to look. I tell people getting elected to Congress is a gift. I mean, it really is in many respects. You know, you're given this incredible gift by you know, the people of your district, and so you come here and you should, you know, utilize it to do what you think is right. To come here and to kind of dodge the tough issues, or to just kind of go along to get along, you're kind of squandering that gift. And so this is, you know, I mean, this is a place where I think you should come. You know, I was a student of history where I think our founders thought that you would come to Washington and actually, you know, do what you think is right and not do what the big money tells you to do, or do what the corporations tell you to do, or sometimes even not do what the popular opinion tells you to do.
Mm. Do you ever have to deal with your own leadership? A telephone call and a close vote from a Nancy Pelosi or from one of the deputies, and you know, you like them, you admire them, right, but you have to say no.
Yeah, I mean, I've done on a lot of occasions when the Democrats were in charge, you know, on funding bills, that needed to be passed. I remember one time voting I was voting against an omnibus spending bill because it had continued funding for the war in Iraq in it and for Afghanistan. And I remember getting a call from, you know, my leadership saying, you know, we need your vote. I said, I can't vote for you. I mean, you know, my line in the sand is no more money for these wars, period. I've said that. And, you know, I'm not going along with this. I remember Hillary Clinton, who I admire and respect and who's a good friend, calling me up and asking me to, you know, could you give us a vote? And Rahm Emanuel calling me up and asking me, you know, and I, you know, and it, you know, and I just, and I said, no, I didn't like saying no, but, you know, but my view was, you know, if I said yes, then I'm part of the problem that I had identified, which is that we just kind of let these wars go on and fund themselves forever and ever and ever. I want to make a statement. So, yeah, so it's uncomfortable sometimes you get those calls. And, you know, but more often than not, I agree with Nancy Pelosi. I think she was a great Speaker of the House, and I hope she's Speaker of the House again. And when people, somebody says to me, you vote with Nancy Pelosi, you know, 98% of the time, you know, can you explain that? I said, well, because I usually agree with her 98% of the time, you know. You know, I mean, if I didn't, I wouldn't vote with her all those times. But, you know, Nancy's a good liberal, you know, somebody who believes in, you know, a lot of the same issues of justice and equality and peace that I do. I mean, so, you know, she's usually on my side on all of these things.
And Jim McGovern, when we come back the next time, I'm going to want to talk to you about Ukraine going along those very, very similar lines. Jim McGovern, it is such a pleasure and such an honor to have you with us, and appreciate it very much. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.